Cubberty on 2FM with Super Value Travel Insurance. Holidaying at home or abroad? Don't worry about a thing with Great Value Travel Insurance at supervalue.ie.
And Dr. Ciara Kelly, GP and broadcaster, is with us now. But before we get on to what we're going to be talking about today, what do you think of that idea? I mean, what do you think?
About toxic friendships. I suppose, Tara, what I do think is that some friendships can work for the whole of your life, but a lot of friendships don't, and they may suit or have a good fit with you at a period of time when you're in your teens or in college or younger, or you know, you're in a workplace or whatever, but not all friendships are good for you or possible to sustain long term. And listening to what you were saying about, I feel like an agony aunt here, and listening to what you were saying about, you know, that the friend has anger issues and has cheated on the husband and all this, those are issues in themselves, and there may be an element of judgmental sort of viewpoint there, I suppose, too. But how the problem really is how they make this person who's written into us feel. They obviously make them uncomfortable. They're making them sort of second guess or maybe rethink their relationship and all that kind of stuff. And if your friendship becomes, it's not a marriage, if your friendship becomes like really hard work and something that doesn't make you feel good and you come away from it feeling badly or feeling you've compromised yourself in some way and stuff, I would suggest that all you can do there is pull back. Yeah, maybe in some cases, if the friendship has a real value and a long-standing sort of thing, you could go to the person and say, look, these are my issues. But that doesn't always work out the way you want it to. I mean, going and having the big heart-to-heart, a lot of times just creates a huge row and gets thrown back in your face. Sometimes I think you have to cut your losses in a friendship. And there are friendships that become toxic. I think we've probably all had them. And I think, you know, all you can say at that point is, you're dead to me. I'm moving on.
Let's say it like it is. But no, I do like that idea of sitting down and trying to sort it. But you're right, sometimes that can
sometimes
go
it's not.
Blow up in your face.
There are friendships where you'd do anything to try and save the friendship. And like lots of friendships can survive rows or can survive, you know, ups and downs. But I think sometimes when you're looking at that person and going, I don't even know if I like you anymore, the way you're behaving or the way you're acting or whatever, sometimes you have to pull back.
Yeah, especially if it's an ongoing long term thing versus something that's a bad phase.
Yeah,
but you know, recently on the show, Ryan mentioned 11s and taking breaks in work. Well, Lions Tea carried out a study which proves people are ashamed of taking breaks and feel frowned upon by co-workers if they do, even though they're legally entitled to breaks. So is that the case with you? Well, Dr. Ciara joins us to offer tips around dealing with daily stress and the importance of taking breaks. So we were talking to Philip Boucher-Hayes in a more serious note of shaming. And now you heard that. And then now talking about break shaming. So
I know. Yeah. There's every type of shaming now. There's break shaming, victim shaming, fat shaming. There's all this sort of stuff. So this is obviously a new buzzword. But I do think that people aren't maybe taking the breaks. And I think that's probably something to do with the recession. I think there became the narrative for a long time during the recession that you were lucky to have a job.
Yes.
I think people used to say that. And there was a grain of truth in it compared to people who didn't have a job. But what we saw there was we saw the 0 hours contracts. We saw people who maybe were on job bridge or internships and stuff like that. People who went into the workplace every day and felt they had to prove themselves every day to have any kind of job security. And so what you did see was people having their lunch at their desk and people never taking their breaks. And do bear in mind, if you work an 8-hour day, you are entitled to an hour for your lunch, but you're also entitled to a 15-minute break.
I think it's only the one.
People weren't taking the breaks and haven't been taking the breaks. And the kind of irony or the paradox to all this, of course, is that if you do take a break, you're more likely to be productive. We've seen there was very much an American idea too. You know, they have very short holidays, they work longer hours, but they're less productive than our European equivalents who have more holidays and shorter working days and shorter working weeks. We're more productive. So we don't want to particularly go down that road, I think, where you just, you know, you sit at your desk for 12 hours a day and you eat at your desk and you never sort of move away from your computer. It's bad for you in terms of productivity, but much more importantly from my point of view, because, you know, I'm not your employer, I don't care about your productivity. Much more importantly, it's bad for your stress levels. It's bad for your mental health. If you don't take sort of moments out of the day, kind of, and punctuate your day with breaks and with little timeouts where you maybe kind of pat yourself on the back for your achievements or just reflect or just take 5 minutes to yourself, it's bad for your health. It's bad for rushing from one thing to another, to another, to another, to another, is bad for our mental health and our stress levels. And it's kind of the opposite to mindfulness, which we're all talking about now as this kind of a great antidote to stresses and strains mentally.
You can hear me there breathing, trying to jumping in on that point. because you're speaking, you're preaching to the converted, okay? You know, you're telling us and we believe you and we know it's right, but how do we get that through to the top level? Because when you're not seen at your desk, how do you get that through to the bosses to go, yes, you need their break, they come back, and they, how do we get this to work? How do we pass that on?
I don't know, but I think one of the ways you get through to maybe your employer is, well, first of all, you've got a statutory requirement. So employers, a lot of big companies like banks and stuff, are quite careful about ticking those boxes because they don't ever want to be accused of not doing it. So that's one workplace sort of idea that feeds into taking the breaks. But the other thing is, I think we should push the idea that you are more productive. I think we all know when you were studying for exams, for example, no one would ever suggest that it was a good idea to study straight in a block for 12 or 14 hours. That'd be nuts.
We all did it.
You can't concentrate for that long. Well, exactly, the cramming at the end. But you know, what you can do is you can work hard for an hour or an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours if you're really stuck into something. But then you need to take 10 or 15 minutes to clear your head before you can actually move on to another topic or another task. That's the same in the workplace. You aren't actually able to just go, 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 unless what you're doing is starting to become a bit slipshod. Do you know what I mean? Because you're not actually taking the moment to kind of think and reflect and sort of assess what you've done. But there's a lot to be said for acknowledging to yourself as well your small accomplishments in the day. If you've just done a little pocket of work, pat yourself on the back for that and say well done to yourself, rather than kind of going, hey, that's done, I've got to do the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And, you know, there is optimum stress where we perform well in the workplace and perform well in life in general. And then there's sort of the toxic beyond optimum stress levels where stress actually is counterproductive and we become unable to function at our best because we are stressed and we are hassled and we're overstretched. We're overstretched because we're working too much. We're overstressed because we're not taking breaks. But maybe we're overstressed as well because we feel we're in an environment where we're not allowed to take a minute to ourselves. But bear in mind, smokers are always taking breaks. And that's for a very unhealthy reason. So we've got lots of people who are smokers who go outside and have the 7 minutes it takes to smoke a cigarette and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And that's kind of understood and accepted to a certain extent. But what about taking breaks for healthy reasons, to go and take 7 minutes of fresh air and a glass of water or a cup of tea or a cup of coffee or whatever? Those things actually have a positive benefit, you know, on you when you come back into the workplace.
I love that idea. I do. We've often thought that, you know, people heading out years ago, even more so when there were many more smokers. But wouldn't it be lovely, that idea that you can go out somewhere with your cup of tea, sit around with a couple of friends, especially the weather's getting better.
Gorgeous.
We're coming into exam time. A lot of people are really studying, but to take the breaks as opposed to those cramming sessions where, let's face it, you remember the information for a little while and then it's gone to you, dead.
Completely.
But otherwise, you can stay with you and you can grow and develop on
Completely.
An idea.
And it's the same thing with lunch hour. You know, if you work through your lunch, you actually haven't had a break at all as such. So if you're somebody who just munches on a sandwich at the desk while they're still looking at the screen, that does two bad things. It's not very good for your relationship with food and you know, you're eating mindlessly, so people tend to eat more kind of crappy stuff than if they were actually thinking about it and sitting down and enjoying a meal. But also, it's far more beneficial to your head to actually leave your desk. In fact, leave your work environment. Get outside, go for a walk and have a sandwich somewhere where you're looking at the sea or where you're literally sitting on a park bench or whatever. Those types of things have a really positive benefit. And I'm telling you, we should do this as an experiment. We should get our listeners to do this and then let feedback to you. Because if you start to do that, it's amazing how your day changes. If you take those moments for yourself, your quality of life goes up, your stress levels go down, and even your general sense of well-being and optimism and your feeling of being able to cope with stuff, it changes things. This isn't just, you know, airy-fairy, wishy-washy stuff. It's good for your mental health to take a moment from time to time in the day and punctuate your day with moments that don't involve stress and anxiety and rushing, because I think we're all a bit guilty of that.
Yeah, I'm all guilty of eating at our desk. And so also, it's not very hygienic at the end of the day, is it?
No, apparently our keyboards and our phones and all are absolutely filthy.
Yeah,
anyway.
There is a brilliant comparison which we won't get into this time of the day.
No.
But anyway, do you know what else? Another thing, a friend of mine works in a company, okay? What do you think of this? They're after investing in an area. They're calling a Google-esque type area, very chilled out area, some seats to relax in, a relaxed meeting area. But anyone who's seen sitting in it, then comments have been made that they're on the dos.
Yeah, you see, that's the idea of break shaming, isn't it? And you know, there are lots of different pressures on people in the workplace, pressures from bosses, pressures for deadlines, all that. But there is also peer pressure. And I know I've spoken to people about this myself who are patients and stuff, who say, I can't be the first person to get up and leave at 5 o'clock. I can't be the first person to go down for lunch. I can't be that person because, you know, in those little kind of meerkat, you know, those offices where everyone's heads bob up and down over the partitions, people will look at me, people will notice. And you know who really struggle with this are women, in fact, who, you know, they've gone back to work after having a baby and they've got to get to the creche at a certain time, or they can only do the drop off at a certain time. They feel horribly compromised in work because they know that they have to leave on the dot of 5, for example, to get through the traffic, to get to wherever they've got to collect their child. And they sort of say, you know, even though they're only contracted for those hours, and even though they may have worked their asses off for the whole day, that there's a kind of a look given to them for all the people who, for all you know, are on their emails and looking at Twitter, but are still stuck there at 5:30 and 6. And there is that. That is very true, because all those people who aren't taking breaks aren't always working to their full capacity, because none of us can work to our full capacity without taking a break. So a lot of people that never lift their head from the desktop, what they're actually doing is they're on social media, they're, you know, they're on their emails, they're booking their holidays, but they're giving the impression that they're working very hard. So you've got to sort of, you know, not take on board the break shaming thing. You know that if you are someone who takes a break and then works hard in between your breaks, that you're actually a good employee, that you're giving your all and you're performing well, and forget about what anyone else thinks, I think.
That's just great advice. And it goes for a lot of guys too who are also doing the creche drop. They feel like going out with the sign that says, going to creche, have worked my butt off. But in general, do you think we're just too busy?
Yeah, I think there probably is an element of that. I think life has changed, hasn't it? I mean, I think we're kind of coming out, and now there's a little bit of distance between now and the Celtic Tiger, and there's also been a little bit of distance maybe between now and how long we've been in recession. So we're able to maybe look back and assess what has changed in the last 15 years in Ireland since 2000. We went through boom and we went through bust. And I think when bust happens, you really do have to dig deep and work hard. And I think, you know, an awful lot of people found themselves in the position where they had to do more for less money, but it was either do more for less money or have no money. And so people did work really hard and are working really hard and are under genuine stress, because for an awful lot of people out there, and we know this, at the end of every month, there's hardly any money left, you know, so literally every penny goes to paying the bills. There's nothing left for you. So there's no little ability to sort of say, do you know what, we're going to go out for dinner, or we're going to take a weekend away. Those things are gone for a lot of people. So it's all work and no play. And that does make things very difficult for people, and it does put them under strain.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because I think it's speaking the truth. There's a lot of texts coming in here for you, Ciarán. 51552. My 17-year-old worked a weekend shift recently from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. He was only given a 15-minute break. I'm outraged and I'm concerned her employer is taking advantage of her age. So, sorry, 17-year-old, she was given, I mean, that's crazy.
15 minutes in a 9-hour shift. Yeah, that is, it's not only crazy, it's illegal. Do you know what I mean? But, you know, and they may have a point that younger workers, and as I was mentioning, kind of job bridge and internships and all, younger workers who don't maybe know their rights, or maybe aren't old enough to be mature
and assertive.
And assertive, yeah. Exactly. Kind of put up with all sorts of rubbish, don't they?
Very difficult. Another text. In my workplace, people have taken up smoking because if you sit out the back for 15 minutes with a fag in your hand, the bosses don't say anything because they do it too. But if I were to sit out the back for 15 minutes with a cup of tea, let's say, I'd be given out to for not doing work. It's so unfair that you get more breaks for smoking.
Absolutely ridiculous. And absolutely ridiculous the workplace supports smoking as opposed to having a cup of tea or having a cup of coffee or having a glass of water. Absolutely ridiculous, because you know what? If you do want a healthy workforce, supporting smoking is the wrong way to go about it. And we're not down on smokers here. What we're trying to say, well, we kind of are, but what we're trying to say is support people taking a healthy moment in their day that isn't involving, you know, inhaling toxic substances. You know, this is just craziness. And also, people are more productive if they take a break. If you take a moment away from your desk when you return to your desk, your focus is better, your energy is better, and your kind of ability to get stuck into a new thing is better.
Look, we all know at the end of the day, smoking's bad for us. We're not looking at that. We're looking at that idea. If you want to make an adult decision to do that to yourself, you have to deal with the health consequence of that yourself. But what we are saying is people should be also entitled to that break time.
Yes, and they are, in fact, statutorily they are.
Yeah. Another text. I'm really enjoying your topic this morning. Thank you very much. And to Dr. Ciarán, I work in a financial services company, and after some people left our team, we were allocated more work on, this is the thing.
Yeah,
all
the time.
More work on top of an already busy day. I raised this with managers, and the hassle I got for for not wanting to do overtime was unbelievable. You do have to be brave to speak up. I had to get HR involved, so I have probably not done my career any favours, and that is another worry people have, but I refuse to be married to my job and get stressed. I was more or less told stress is part of the job. Not cool.
Not cool. And you know what? That's the IFSC kind of attitude, but also we've seen it hugely in the public sector as well, because public sector obviously have had it in recruitment embargo, so every time someone has left, be it they've left to retire or they've resigned or they've gone on maternity leave or whatever, that work has simply been doled out to the remaining staff with no kind of credit given, I think, to the fact that people are worked to the pin of their collar. You've got to, at some point, I think we all have to stand up and say, look, do you know what? There's nothing to be ashamed of needing a break. We're only human. Everyone needs it. But actually, I'll work better and I'll work harder if you support me and allow me to take what I'm actually entitled to, which is an hour for my lunch and a break of 15 minutes at some other point in the day.
There's some alarming stats as well in and around this, isn't there? You know, so basically, as we were sharing our stats list there. So just talk us through some of the key ones there that you've given us.
Well, I think what we know is that the majority of people, 70%, don't even know that they're entitled to breaks. And that creates a culture where therefore they don't seek a break and they don't take a break and they don't look for a break. And that's a problem. And 20% of people would say that they never sit down at work, they never take a break, they never catch up with colleagues. And that creates a bad, I think, morale in the workplace. It doesn't foster team building, but it also means that you maybe don't have any kind of a good relationship with the people you work with. You barely know them. And that makes work a very cold place. I think we all need that
Years ago there was that thing, there was a culture of Friday night, people would go out together. A lot of that is gone. Money-wise and every other
completely
reason.
And I mean, 70% of people say they can't take a break, they don't have enough time, but 60% of people acknowledge that they would be happier if they did take a break. So you've got to think of those two stats. You've got to think, oh, I'm too busy, I can't do it, but I would feel much better if I did. Maybe you need to try it. Maybe you need to recognise that. And I know myself, sometimes I do spend very long hours of the day at work and I don't take a break and I don't take lunch and I might work through and I could be sitting at my desk, but some of what I do on those days is kind of faffing about a little bit because I'm wrecked because I've been there for the 12 hours, and so I'm not at my best. I would be better getting out and walking around the block and coming back and sitting down. Why don't we do that? I think Tubridy should launch a campaign. We all need to take breaks. We need to get out there. And if not Tubridy, then you and me, Tara.
Yeah.
Get out there and take your breaks. Walk and get outside of the work environment. Get outside of your, you know, central heating, you know, air conditioned office, which is that funny kind of environment, isn't it? Where you don't have any fresh air. You don't have that kind of altered temperature or any of those kind of things. Get outside, get the fresh air, rain, hail or shine, you know, just leave the work environment, which allows you psychologically to take a mental break from it.
I think you're making really valid points. One thing is, how do we deal with this? Let's say you're in an office, there are 20 people who are working there, Ciara, what is your advice without compromising your career at the end of the day? You don't want to be seen as somebody who's rocking the boat too much, but you still want to be entitled to your breaks. What advice do you have for people?
I would say, do you know what? Take your breaks. And I always think there's one how you get on in life and in your career is twofold. One is be good at your job, but two is let people know you're good at your job. So I would say to anybody, take your breaks, point out to people that it makes you more productive and just hit your targets. If you're still, your workplace will not care what you actually do if you are performing, if you are doing well and if you are reaching, you know, your the various targets that people have in the workplace. So provided you're performing, your employer won't care. And I think, you know, floating the idea in your workplace that actually it makes you more productive, A, and B, that the people who don't take the breaks are probably actually on the internet. You know, those kinds of things. We all kind of know this, you know, but I think sometimes you have to be brave. You have to be the one to stand up and say, well, I'm off downstairs for my non-smoking break, you know what I mean? And go outside and get the mouthful. The lungful of fresh air is a huge boost during your working day.
That's great advice. And let your work do the talking. A couple of more texts before we let you go. It's ludicrous that smokers can step out 5 minutes a day for a smoke, but if someone who doesn't smoke just wants to walk outside to get some air, it's been seen as skiving off. That's from Adrian. Yes, we talked about that and that's very true. Our employer made us work, says another texter, over 30 days straight. What? Most days over 10 hours a day and never even thanked us. No time and a half, just an hourly rate. All of us are highly trained tradesmen. Insane. And a last
totally
text
insane.
For you. Insane. I hate it when people say, aren't you lucky to have a job? Yes, I'm lucky to have a job, but I still have the right to vent my frustrations with it. It drives me crazy.
I think that is the culture that we've been seeing. You're lucky to have a job. And yeah, there is an element of that is true because so many people lost their jobs. So I get that. But that doesn't mean that because you have a job, you need to be worked into the ground. And, you know, here's the key point for anyone who says you're lucky to have a job, don't take a break. You are more productive. We know this. This has been studied. Time and motion studies have studied this, you know, up and down. If you are somebody who gets stuck in, does, and also in your break, then if you want to go on your social media or whatever, you need to take those punctuated moments in the day where you step back from your work because you become inefficient, you become unproductive. I don't know why the culture is there that doesn't support this, because actually it's like those women that have, you know, or those men who have taken parental leave and they do 4 days a week instead of 5 days. Their employers love that because they pay them 20% less, and you know what? They do just as much work.
Yes, the women and men up and down the country saying hooray to that one. Talking of breaks, we're going to take guys now, but Dr. Kira, you've now launched the break, the shaming
Let's go have a break right now, Tara.
Let's do it.